totally forgot to tell you all of my geology jokes. So, my friend and I will turn to each other and we'll be like, "Geology rocks!" And then we'll be like, "Yeah, don't you take it for granted." And then there's this rock called schist. And we're like, "Yeah, it's the schist." And then sometimes I'll be mean. She'll be like, "Don't you be an asshole." And I'll be like, "Oh, you get a half-life." And then we have geology handshakes. I'm gonna have to do them with myself, which is actually a little uncomfortable, but it's the best I can do. So.
Told me she loves me,
but how do you know?
'Cause she rarely lies.
How do you know?
Don't push and don't shove me.
Oh boy, it's Encyclopedia Brunch. My name is Tim Dobbs. With me, as ever, through the internet, it's Catherine Kogert.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me this week.
Yep, no problem. This week, we had an opening, so slot it right
yeah.
in.
Every week I fill in for another special guest host that couldn't make it. Who am I filling in for this week?
Terry Gross, as always.
Could not be bothered, I guess.
Yeah. Now, so I understand, Catherine, that you wanted to interview me about a recent book that I've written and sort of like be the interview of record about me.
Yeah. Tell me about your book, The Sociological Impact of Terrible Puns.
I think it, as you read in my book that I definitely wrote,
uh-huh.
Not an elaborate scam to be on Fresh Air with Terry Gross, I tell you. And no, I'm not let down that they put on a substitute. None of this is true. I'm having a great time. So,
who's a pretty bad interviewer, because my question was like, tell me about your book.
So, what is this thing?
I didn't read it.
For the listeners at home, because of course you read the book. I think bad puns bring us together. I think
okay, so they're an important part of the social web. Is that a word that I can use there?
Really wish Terry Gross could have made it.
TG Levin.
You know, I will say I think puns they can bring a group of two together. Two people sharing some puns. That's a bonding experience.
Not three people.
No, that's where it breaks. They call that the Dobbs pivot. That's where everything cracks away.
Right. The tipping Dobbs. Sure. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I think puns are not to be... they don't make for a good show. But between two people.
Okay. Right? Okay.
So... I guess.
Do you remember The Bugle? Are they still making The Bugle?
The podcast, The Bugle.
Thing. Yeah.
I believe they're still making it, but John Oliver is not anymore.
Is no longer on it. Do you remember a classic Bugle bit for deep podcast fans?
Mm-hmm.
And also, this is worth a look up for everybody out there. Do you remember the fish puns?
I don't think I remember the fish puns especially.
It was a run of, I'm going to say, about 100 fish puns that this guy did. Just stream of consciousness.
Just throwing them out there.
I don't think he wrote them. I think they were just off the dome.
Oh, no. I'm quite sure he wrote them.
He did write them?
I mean, yeah.
That's still impressive. Still a feat.
The acrobatic nature of his relentless pun runs really suggested that he wrote them. Either that or he's some sort of
savant. That makes a good show.
Yeah, although I will say, I think what was appealing about it in The Bugle was how much John Oliver really hated Andy Zaltzman's puns. Like, to me, the enjoyment was like, oh, yeah, like, the puns will sneak in and get you. Like, that's kind of fun. But the real fun was during the entire, like, 5 minutes of fish puns, John Oliver going, oh, Andy, you have to stop.
Well, now that John Oliver is doing the news...
Yep, this is where all our news comes
Here's
from.
Something else that's really tearing him down every week.
Well, let's take the advice to not try to build a show around puns, and instead build a show around something much more exciting: rocks.
Oh, well.
what if I said rock collections?
Oh boy. Yeah, go ahead, Tim. I'm just going to gulp, 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 gulp this whole podcast. Just going to drink water the whole time. Is that a good way to get out of co-hosting a show? It's just continuing to drink water.
I do like the again, bad interview approach of being like, go ahead. You showed up here. We're in front of all these cameras. I guess this is something.
Oh, no, I choked on my water a little bit there. You caught me off guard.
Well, I guess you'll just have to contribute to the show. Catherine, did you have a rock collection growing up?
Oh, honey, baby, did I ever.
Tell me more. What was the nature of your rock collection? How many rocks?
Oh, variable. Here's the other thing about young Catherine. She loved collecting things, whether it's items or pieces of information or just making small piles of things in places.
Yeah.
You know, the way that kids do. And also some order to soothe the chaotic world around a child.
Absolutely. And I think in a lot of ways, you know, they say play is you know, preparing kids. It's sort of play acting real things you'll have to do in life. Like, you know, fight others to protect the tribe. Go down slides. And then finally, of course, in this modern world, it is carefully organize and collect things into bins so they can be submitted into a bureaucratic process.
Yeah, yeah. Get ready to drop off your stuff at Goodwill. Keep it organized.
Is it too late to do a show on piles? Let's do a show on piles, because I think that actually may be one of humankind's greatest technologies.
It's the pile.
This is the
Before
pile.
Before the wheel, there was the pile.
The wheel
was the invention to bring things to the pile faster, yeah. Because the pile drives us.
Yeah, they originally wanted to call it a pile driver, but in fact that was taken.
Yes, yeah, by that app.
App? What?
Yeah, it's a gig economy app to make piles faster that cavemen had.
Oh, I see. Tell me more about the caveman iPhone, please.
Oh no, everything I have to say is so rote and hacky.
I guess thank you for acknowledging that, and we will leave it as an exercise to the listener to fill in all the sort of like generalized improv podcast jokes that would go on around these things.
Oh no, his leaf was a contact. Wait, that's pretty good actually. Your contact, it just says a leaf.
I gotta call up my friend Leaf.
He's not answering. I don't know. He's always up getting up to something.
Yo, Stick, have you seen Leaf? I know you guys hang out together, but not so much lately. Now that it's autumn.
It's autumn.
See, there
oh,
was...
Leaf died.
Oh, no. That is... Oh, it just... It's never easy to find these things out, but that's not the way you want to do it when you're inviting them to a party.
Yeah, no, that's not how I'd want to find out. What? Suddenly your party has to be awake. That's the other thing, is like, I was having a fun birthday party, maybe going to announce my engagement to the saber-toothed tiger, and now... How's it going?
I'm sorry. I just love this world you're painting where, like, you know, traditionally the sort of like the Far Side cavemen, right? Like that style of stereotypical, like, it's very set up and it's like, well, there's people. They live in caves. The dudes hit the ladies over the head with a club and drag them back. Right. They fight saber-toothed tigers and dinosaurs. and, you know, Og make fire and stone wheel and whatever. But in your world, all of these inanimate objects are friends.
Well, I mean, friends, they hang out. They hang out. They,
well, yeah.
They try to make it work together. Well, I mean, I think Og's a little upset that Stick didn't let him know about Leaf earlier.
I mean, maybe this is me being sort of biased. My male bias is that, my human bias really, is that I assumed the main character here that we're playing, who's getting married to the saber-toothed tiger, is a human. Maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe it's another tiger.
You know, that's true. I guess I had envisioned Og as a human, but maybe Og is a woolly mammoth.
Maybe
I mean...
Og is a mote of dust. Maybe Og
is an amoeba.
Yeah. Everything is alive.
Well, all the things that we've included in this weird bit are all alive.
all living here in the land of anthropomorphasia.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I had a pretty cool rock collection that I would continue to find rocks, then I'd lose them, and then piles.
Did you ever, to stay on theme here on this podcast, did you ever anthropomorphize the rocks? Was that one of the appeals to you?
Make them make out with each other.
Oh, igneous. Your fine crystal structure is so fine.
You know, I never did a pet rock situation. No. No, what about you? Do you ever have a pet rock situation in your rock collection? I assume you had a rock collection. We all had rock collections.
Every child had a rock collection, right?
If you didn't, you live in some sort of strange rockless world. Maybe a desert where there's only sand.
Mm. So yeah, like a desert sheikh, perhaps. A traditional Bedouin.
Yeah.
It's mostly camels and oases and rocks. Yeah. Listeners, write in if you didn't have a rock collection. Don't let Catherine try to force you to normalize.
I would like to know about, like, why didn't you have a rock collection? Did it just never occur to you?
Yeah.
Was there some jerk who had a rock collection? Like, I don't want to be like Jeremy.
I did have a rock collection. No, I never, they were never like pets. They were never really action figures, but they had personalities. They had powers. Yeah. You hold the gem and now it like gives you a special power for sure. I don't know that I was never going to marry a rock. But I did love it so much. So like,
right. But you might've married a saber-toothed tiger.
Yeah, well, sure. I mean, it's, can it grant consent is the question. And in the land of anthropomorphasia, yes. In
everything
real world, no.
Has agency.
Yeah, everything has. Oh, how emotionally overwhelming is that?
You know, I think maybe this is one of those situations where I've sort of created a world that's like a joke in quotes, but really this is sort of how I see the world.
Yeah. It is really hard when you're putting together your piles, man's greatest technology, when you're putting those together to give something to the Goodwill, or worse, throw it away. Like, a lot of times it's emotional work for me because I am like, oh, but this book, you know, like has good words in it still.
These words are still words.
Yeah. And I can't get rid of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe we do live in anthropomorphasia.
A little bit, I think, you know, we can imagineer it, right?
Yeah.
It's quite an expression. Nope, never mind. We'll steer away from the word imagineer.
I'm becoming emotionally tired. Can we take
gave
a break?
Me a hell of a grimace there. Yeah, no, we can move on.
I just sort of started thinking about all this stuff I've let go and all these rocks I have to take care of, and it's too much. Let's be back in a moment.
Oh, no.
Encyclopedia Brush.
Hi everybody.
Yeah, getting nice on this. Bar for bar, I'm a beast. So baby, pardon my tea and put some ice on it. Look at the lights on this. They getting hype in the back. You stay lit when I'm writing a track. I like it. I get invited to Mac, and every girl in the spot know that they coming with me. Hey, yo, it's like that. And once you feeling the vibe, I get the feeling I hide. I start chasing your love, baby. It's like crack. With my cigar in the air, I get the mob in the hair. So get the law up in here before I strike back. Treat them one of a kind, and every one of them mine. So every one of them mine. As well, like that.
And we're back on Encyclopedia Brunch talking about collecting rocks. Rock collecting. Catherine.
Tim.
As an adult, given that you generally try not to anthropomorphize things too much.
If I can possibly avoid it.
Yeah. What do you use to judge a rock that you might want or not want?
Well, I use a very specific metric called coolosity.
Uh-huh. What kind of tool does that use?
Well, it's a proprietary piece of Apple software. Yeah, it's part of sort of their office suite they have over there. But it takes into account, you know, shape, color, shininess, all of the C's that they talk about with diamonds, because why not?
Shape, you know, starts with a C. color
vibe,
shininess.
Does it give me a good vibe? Oh, yeah. Which I guess we're kind of stepping into anthropomorphizing again, so we don't need to think too much about that.
Well, let me give you some metrics here. When I go to pursue a new hobby, the thing for me is always like, okay, so what can I grab onto? What are the levers? Like, what are the handholds?
Right.
And I think the first way into rocks is to know what kinds of rocks there are, which is something I definitely learned in fourth grade and do not remember. Do you remember any of the kinds of rocks?
Igneous.
That is one. Yeah.
Pumice.
No, that's not one of the, like, I don't know how they categorize them all. Oh, yeah. Huh.
Don't you remember when they had the rock person come in and you zoned out during that assembly, but then they like threw some pumice in water and then it floated and you're like, no, that's pretty cool. And then you went back to thinking your little kid thoughts.
yeah, kind of, I guess. All right. There's three like kingdoms of rock, I guess is what we'd call it at a high level. There's igneous, which is the rock melted. The rock like went underground, got all melty in a furnace, basically, and then it came back up, and the liquid formed into some mineral structure.
Oh, okay. So igneous is kind of like the Hershey Kiss that you left in your car.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just still there.
Yep, that's right.
So you're not gonna eat it.
then you got sedimentary, which is like, you know, plant matter, stuff decays, you know, whatever. Things that aren't rocks become rocks by laying down. Yeah, laying down, let's say. And then over time, get pressurized, so they kind of just get crunched together. And then that's a rock.
Pretty cool.
And that works in layers. So where igneous is a Hershey Kiss, sedimentary is like, you know, some kind of multi-layer dessert, like I want to say brickle.
Oh, a tiramisu?
Yeah, a tiramisu, let's say.
Mm.
And then finally, there's metamorphic, which kind of seems to me like it's the third bin where they're like, I don't know if it doesn't fit. But metamorphic, as the name suggests, is when, I don't know, a bunch of pressure and temperature things happen to it to change its structure. Not from melting, because that would be igneous, but just, you know, like the crystals get pushed a different way or whatever. There's, you know, I mean, you know how materials work. There's a bunch of pressures and temperatures.
No, I don't, actually. But I do know one thing. In this podcast, we've brushed on material science a few times, and we come to the same conclusion almost every time. And that's like, this is complicated and weird and pretty boring.
Yeah.
Sorry, materials people.
Yeah. So those are your three kinds, right? Is it not boring yet? Is it interesting yet?
I'm sure somebody out there thinks it's really interesting. And thank you to that person, and we need you, and I value you. I am not that person. Mm. And I think that's okay.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe we still don't have... Maybe there's not enough of a handhold yet. Like, okay, I get there's three types, but that's the same as telling me, like, you know, if I was going to get into baseball and you were like, well, the point is to score more by hitting a ball. And I'd be like, all right. And you're like, there's a position called shortstop. And I was like, well, that's a weird name. Uh-huh. So maybe that's where we're at right now.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm curious. I want to keep going on this baseball track. At what point are you like, oh, now I'm interested?
Let's see. What is the... I find with sports generally, what gets me is when I find, like, what is the compelling, like, balance of it? So I think in baseball, I think the compelling thing is that it's sort of a slow drama. Like, there's a lot of tension in baseball because, because it works, you know, one side goes up, then the other side goes up. There's like always this like push and pull of, okay, so now it's this team's time to like, are they going to get ahead or not? Or like, they are ahead. Can they hold it? Like, can this pitcher keep doing this? So the tension, I think, is kind of like, that's the hook that would hook me.
Okay.
So maybe what we're talking about is like, we have to find the emotion that rock collecting can draw out in me.
Are you ready for this? Because it might take us back to anthropomorphizing town.
You know, I think that's fine. I think it's fine. Mm-hmm. I'm going to anthropomorphize. I'm a human being. But I think the trick in, the Encyclopedia Brunch Better Life Guide says, feel free to do that, but choose not to do the anthropomorphizing that makes you feel bad.
Okay. Oh, that is... That's part of our official style guide, huh?
You know, if you don't think we should include that, I did just make it up, so I don't know if it belongs in the style guide just yet.
I guess I'm just reflecting on how that is never what I do with anthropomorphizing.
There's what you do and what you think you should do. And
okay, okay. Well, you know what? I can aspire to that. Mm-hmm. I will do my best.
Okay.
So I hope everybody really enjoyed that show meeting we just had.
Hit me with some anthropomorphizing emotional hooks for rock collecting.
Well, rocks mean things. Mm. Like they're objects and they have history to them. Whether you see a rock like, oh, this rock was under a lot of pressure at one point. This rock was very, very deep in the ground and now it's above ground. It's been on a heck of a journey.
That is cool.
This rock spent a very long time just in a river. This is all kind of cool.
Yeah, I like it as a connection to history.
Yeah. Okay. I guess, like, but it doesn't hold your interest, right?
Well, I mean, for those things, many of them are, that's an interesting thing to learn about the history of this area, and something that grants me some perspective on, say, this river. Like, one thing I remembered, Snoqualmie Falls is a big waterfall near Seattle, Washington. And the first time I visited it, so it's quite a big falls, and there's a bunch of mist that sprays up. And there's all these plants that grow kind of on the rock wall near the mist. And those are plants that would really only grow in very, very wet conditions.
Right.
And at some point I realized, like, oh, those plants are always wet. I go in and out of the mist. But these plants, they're just like, yeah, it rains 100% of my life. Like,
yeah,
this is it.
Yeah. And I love it.
Mm-hmm. And then actually I felt like gave me some perspective on like, this waterfall is always on. I'm so used to like shutting off the lights when I leave a room, but the waterfall.
Right, you leave the waterfall. We all kind of struggle with object permanence sometimes.
You know, there's maturity and there's continuing to grow and learn. And I think we should all strive to be mature at some point, but I think we should all accept that we're never going to stop growing and learning, even if we try.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. And I think if you ever stop changing, then that's really sad because then you've stopped growing and learning. And then like, what? I don't know. If you're Catherine, what's the point of being a person?
I don't know. But these are things to ruminate on as you pull a rock out of the river and think about, this river's always on. Wow. That's so much water. If I left a sink on for even this long, it'd be too much.
Sure.
We are so small.
We're pretty little. Yeah.
So that's something. But none of that quite makes me want to take a rock and put it in a shoebox under my bed.
Or a pile.
Or, oh, man's greatest technology. I'm just going to swoon about piles for a minute here. Go on.
No, none of that really makes me want to take a rock home. I think what makes you want to take a rock home is, I think, honestly, when you're a kid, you spend a lot of time feeling things and not really knowing what they mean.
That's true.
Or really what to associate them with. Because being a human is very complex. And I almost feel like when I think back on my time, like collecting rocks as a kid, I think I just remember like feeling a lot of emotions about who knows what, just like, this is the first time I felt sad before. This is the first time I felt like confused before. I mean, it's like the 100th time, right? And at this point in my life, I've felt confused like 10,000 times. So it's really lost some of its novelness to me, some of its shine. And like seeing a rock when I feel like confused here in like the first 100 times of ever feeling confused and like really associating with that rock, just sort of locking in on it in that moment. And then like suddenly this rock means something.
Yeah. That really connects too when you said something about the rock has a power, right? It like bestows a power as you hold it. And I think that sort of connection and making your emotions sort of manifest in the world and have a physicality to them, that really rings true. That's a really good insight. Okay, and then we stop doing that now because like, I'm sad all the time. Get over it.
Oh, you put away childish things, whether you want like to or rocks. Not. I don't have a rock collection, but I do have a rock that I keep. That was part of a class that I took on using mindfulness to deal with anxiety. And one of the exercises we did was like, here's a pile of rocks. Pick a rock that sort of calls out to you. And we're going to meditate on the rock and feel the rock. And like, it was basically the exercise was like to feel the texture of the rock and stare at the rock for a really long time. And then after that, we meditated on like, what kind of person do we want to be? And that was just an exercise in this class. And I've kept the rock. It was kind of helpful.
Yeah. No, it seems like in that way, the rock's power is that it's just a stupid rock. Like, that's the actual strength of the rock, is that, like, it doesn't carry much with it, and so you can just sort of meditate on the details, and none of it is to any end, you know what I mean?
Is there... So I think the reason why kids really collect rocks, when I was thinking about when you suggested rock collection, like, why collect rocks, like, why think, like, oh, I should collect this and keep this, is because, like, it is both very accessible, there's lots of rocks, but each one is very unique. And so it's very easy to feel like, oh, this rock is very special, and it's a really low activation energy to find a rock that is special.
That's true.
And it's, as you say that, it's occurring to me that it's like, oh yeah, humans are the same way. There's a lot of them. They're kind of everywhere. They're all unique, but I don't know.
Yeah, but how many rocks are you going to collect?
Exactly.
Eventually you don't have room, and you just have a bunch of stupid rocks in your house.
Yeah.
And they're heavy. Yeah. I don't know. Do you think that's true? Is that true with humans too? Can you make that, draw that same conclusion though?
Well, except for weird clone people.
Twins? You're talking about twins?
No, not twins. Twins are individuals.
The Encyclopedia Brunch Podcast would officially like to apologize on behalf of Tim Dobbs for his insensitive remarks about twins.
Being a jerk to twins.
Yeah, I mean, but do you think you can take the same lesson of like, yeah, you know, collect some, it'll make you feel good, but you know, eventually they're just a bunch of rocks. Like that seems like such a downer thing. I'm a very up with people kind of person. I don't love the idea of just being like, rocks, humans, whatever.
Well, it's a cruel world that we live in.
Sure, but you're more special to me than you know, even the specialist rock.
Yeah, but you've been carrying this Catherine rock around since, like, what, we launched the show in 2012?
Yeah, well, we carry each other. That's okay. That's what it is. That's right. Humans are humans who actually...
Oh, right. They give back to you.
It's a mutual collection.
We forgot that humans will interact with you. boy.
Catherine, we've gone too deep. This has been a weird...
Did we really just spend, like, a couple minutes meditating on why we bother talking to each other? Because it's like collecting rocks.
The thing is, I knew it was wrong, but I couldn't put it into words. Which is troubling. It's very troubling.
Oh.
I gotta tell you, I've had a weird week. What? Let's reset. Let's crawl back through the looking glass a little.
Okay.
And we'll be back in a moment on Encyclopedia Brunch.
Yeah, I'm gonna call my buddy Leaf.
Set the table up and bring her in too. Boom, if she can handle that, cool. It's about to get hot like candle wax. Put the mood lights on if it's too bright, and take a shot of Patron for the cool life. I'm more than it, get more vintage, it's fourth in it. That mean the game ain't over till the ball finish. Can't check, make me be, I'm off limits. I can pause right here and let the song finish. That gotta ruin me, but as you know, I never wasted opportunity. Move through my community smooth, like I've been doing these dudes. Really need to get in tune with the Jews. You used to be new, guess what? I've been chilling at the Fountain of Youth for a minute, and it's the best of luck. One, now come and feel a caress, point blank. You can feel in the rest, yes. We just drinking, smoking, good music. Yeah, now come and feel a caress, point blank. You can feel in the rest.
Catherine, I have bad news.
Oh, no.
We are legally obligated, because we started this podcast, to create a rock collection as adults by the end of it.
By the end of the show?
By the end of the show. And I'm inside.
I have this key to a Prius. Is this a rock?
In a sense, it's a, you know, mineral. I got some metal stuff here. Is that a rock?
I have a Back to the Future coaster. Is this a rock?
Yeah, well, in a way, yeah. I think...
And this picture of Dwayne the Rock Johnson. Is this a rock?
That is definitely a rock. We did it.
I love our sub-podcast. Is this a rock?
That's good stuff. I think so. I wanted to read you from the USGS. They have an article on collecting rocks, and they talk about like, okay, so what's like, what might you want in a collection? Essentially, they lead with.
Okay. What does the USGS say?
They lead with, a good rock collection consists of selected, representative, properly labeled specimens. So already, this is not going to fly as an 8-year-old.
Thumbs down.
How about this? The collection be as large or as small as the owner wishes. So that's agency.
Okay, so they provided me some options.
But basically, from there, they seem to break down to like, well, you may be interested in collecting each type. So, like, you want really good specimens of, like, you know, a series of igneous rocks, a series of sedimentary rocks, a series of metamorphic rocks, and kind of go in there. You may also find that, like, in your local area, you can really, you know, zoom in on, like, oh, I can get a bunch of interesting specimens of sedimentary rocks, let's say.
Right.
And so that can be, that feels to me like a goal, I guess, some kind of framework to work in, which as an adult I really need because I am putting less emotions into every single rock I find. Like, some of it is just like, yeah, it's just a collection.
How big is this rock collection you have in mind? Because it can be as big or as small as you want.
Yeah, that's what the USGS told me. let's see.
Are you thinking quality or quantity? Because what you just said to me speaks to quantity.
Yeah, well, okay, I feel like 5 rocks or less, this isn't a collection. This is like, you know, I got some rocks.
What if they're huge rocks?
And
you won them at a Willie Nelson concert.
A Willie Nelson concert? Does he give away rocks? Is that a Willie Nelson thing?
It was at this concert.
Okay, so you're describing a real-life thing that happened to you.
Yeah, and I'm asking you, what should I do with these rocks I've won?
Oh, okay. Well, let's talk about display. I feel like to give a sense of size of collection, we should talk about how we want to display them. The USGS suggests that we could use a shoebox. Many people do that, which is not display. They also
That's hiding under a bed, but yes.
It's keeping, for sure. It's still a pile. It's still... Yeah. They also, you know, you can put them on shelves or like a, you know, almost like a china case. That's something a lot of people do. Does any of this stick out to you?
Just really quickly, I just want to pitch to you my idea for a container store style store. And I would like to call it Stuff for Your Piles.
Huh. What about Pile Home?
Pile Homes, yeah.
Yeah.
But on all these display things, none of these are really speaking out to me. I think what I kind of want is like, can I do like a Zen garden? Like it's a palace for my rocks to live in.
Maybe
like a rock dollhouse.
Careful now. Sounds like someone's more interested in dolls and, you know, friends.
This is my friend, Ignatius.
He was melted and came back to life.
Oh God!
Sorry, that's what his name means. They shouldn't have called him that if that's not what happened.
Oh, sad. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of like the Zen garden. Like the there's a space where the rocks live. This is where the rocks live, and we enter the space, and it's a nice place to be in.
Yeah. No, I do like this idea.
Our rock friends.
Okay, yeah, no, I'm on board with that. So I think we're going to be looking for at least 50 rocks then. 50 smallish rocks, fewer if they're quite large.
I kind of want them to be of various sizes.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Big ones and small ones. And there's some way to label them.
So the USGS recommends that many people get a bit of like acrylic paint, and it's white, and they sort of like take a little tip of it, just a small tip of one part of the rock, paint that white, and then use a pen or marker to number it, and then they keep a separate spreadsheet where they can look up what the actual rock is.
Is there a way we could put like cool RFID tags on the rock, and then you like put your phone next to it, and then we make an app, and it's like, oh, here's the story and style of rock that this is.
You're suggesting we build an audio tour, essentially.
It's kind of a rock museum.
Yeah. Rock museum.
I guess it's a museum of natural sciences.
Yeah, I think that is. That's in the geology section of that.
Yeah.
Have you been to one of those? Are those good?
Actually, I have been to one. The USC Museum.
Mm.
It's quite good. It's very extensive. There's so many different types of precious stones and metals and rocks. And, oh, it's so extensive. And it's really cool.
Okay. So I feel like we're getting someplace here. What is cool about the individual rocks? Because I want to translate that experience to our rock Zen garden.
I think the way that they're all placed on different pedestals. So the display is, it's very aesthetically pleasing.
Mm.
And then there's like, here's 12 types of garnets and here's why they all look different.
Oh.
So that's cool. And often it comes down to impurities, but
yeah, right. It's a thing where there's like, oh, there's some cobalt inside this.
Yeah. 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 But like, there's like, here's a bright blue one here and here's a bright red one. And these are both sapphires. And you're like, huh? How'd that work?
This is, man, I gotta go to a museum with you. And you're just like, what? Hey, you all seen this?
Oh shit.
Yeah, okay, that's exciting. Yeah, okay, I want our rock Zen garden to sometimes be zen like but sometimes make people go, what?
I would like to see like an owl doing a double take in our rock Zen garden museum.
I love it. Okay, so I think we should focus on
surprising rocks.
Yeah, surprising rocks. Rocks with a little secret.
Are there any rock themed horror movies? This is totally unrelated.
There's Fantastic Four. The Thing is made of rocks.
But it's not a horror film.
It depends how you read it. I mean, it is sort of horrifying that he's made of rocks now. He can never be a regular human again.
I think he's not thrilled about that, no.
Yeah.
Man, his name is Johnny the Human Torch. Johnny Torch.
Let's see, Johnny Storm, because he's the brother of Sue Storm, who is okay. Ms. Fantastic,
right? And then Rock Guy also here.
Yeah, he was just like their friend.
I just happened to be on janitorial staff that week.
I mean, I think they were all in a spaceship, as I recall. I could be wrong. Listeners, feel free to write in and berate me.
But, I don't invite that on yourself.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying it right in this week. If you're the first one to write in either about how you didn't have a rock collection,
we'll send you a rock.
Yeah.
Start off that rock collection right.
Yeah, get to
not my special rock. No, you no, don't no. get my special rock. Maybe I can send you a picture of me with it. But
you get a special rock because all rocks are special.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's much more likely that, like, you and your spouse and your sibling are all hanging out at work together either, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, in a lot of ways, Ben Grimm is the only one who really fits there at all. He's yeah. just some dude from work.
That's true. He's just some dude from work. Boy, can I tell you about some cool rock collections?
Yes, please.
So, I found this article on Forbes.
Oh, wait. I thought of a rock horror thing. Is that one episode of Star Trek, the original series, where he fights like a rock monster?
Oh, that's sci-fi nonsense, B-movie.
Fine, whatever, fine.
No, it has horror movie influence. You're right.
So, what are the
cool
rock
collections? I just want like a good modern one that's just like, we're afraid of rocks. Kind of like The Happening, but for rocks.
I see. All the rocks decide that. What if all the rocks just turn to magma underneath us? I don't think they can do that. I don't think they have volition, but...
I'm so excited right now because you just pitched to me the dramatization of my favorite game of all time, The Floor is Lava.
You know what? It's going to be better than that movie version of Battleship.
Because it's a better game.
Mm-hmm. It is a better game.
Boy, well, before we go off to make this incredible masterpiece, I found a list of really interesting rock collections. A lot of them are like old timey rock collections, like, hello, I'm an old timey naturalist and these are my rocks.
Ah, yes, back before there was television and we thought this was a way to spend your life.
Yeah, things to do instead of watching Orange is the New Black.
Mm-hmm.
Number one on the list. You could be a tour guide at Mount Vesuvius and you can just sort of collect like old volcanic rocks. It's pretty cool. The storage here is a painted box. The storage is really important to me.
That makes sense.
Yeah. there's one, these are all like, there's another philosophy I'm seeing here where it's like, what if we made all the rocks the same shape? This particular one is just a series of egg-shaped rocks.
Neat, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah,
and yeah, that's like a collection. Intended, yeah, sure.
Yeah. It's an aid for teaching to be like, these are the different types of rocks. And also, it's also to say like, hey, in this region, we have this many cool types of granite, so you should invest in mining here.
So it's part for elementary schoolers and part for, you know, wealthy investors.
They're rich dads.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, this one is really cool. It's a box and you open up the box and they have all your rocks and they're all labeled. And it corresponds to a drawing on the on the lid of the box, like on the underside of the lid of the box. And it's like, this is from this part of the Earth's crust. This is from this part of the Earth's crust. I think that's a cool teaching aid.
Yeah, that is cool.
What else we got here? Oh, this one, they're all in like little glass things. Is this interesting?
I mean, I guess, so I'm thinking about this, and I'm also thinking about this show I watched recently with my roommates called Making It, and it has Amy Poehler and Nick Offerman, and it's very cute. Mm-hmm. It's the Great British Baking Show, where it's like a very gentle reality show where everyone's nice to everyone else, except it's about crafting.
That's nice.
And yeah, you know, it's very gentle and nice, and everyone was very supportive of each other, and like they made some neat things. But I kept finding myself as they went through everyone's thing they were making, I was like, I don't know, do I want that stupid bullshit in my house though? Like, sure, that's fine, mm-hmm. but like, eh. Like someone made an origami photo album. So like it was like a big thing that like 3D thing that sat on your table or whatever, and then you had to pick it up and fold it in this ungainly way, and then there was all the photos. And it's like, well, that's very neat. Do I want that? No, I want my photos probably, honestly, on the cloud. And I want to just like scroll
you
through.
You don't want to display. You don't want to display any photos just like, you know, in your hallway or something.
No, I guess that too. But so what I'm getting to really though.
You don't want to unfold your photos though.
Yeah. What I'm getting to really in both the things that you're talking about and this Making It thing. Is that I am always kind of driving towards like almost interior design or like some way to operationalize like what is my collection, right?
So I think that's a great word for it. Yeah, operationalize.
How do I implement this? So whether it's a teaching tool, okay, that's a thing I'm going to do with this. Like, or it's, you know, like, okay, is this going to hang on the wall and am I going to see it and it'll be nice, you know, throughout my day? Or is this going to be a weird thing that takes up space in my home and I'm not actually going to enjoy it very much? Or even our Zen garden, which to me feels like, oh, we're going to make a nice space to be in. And this will now be a purpose space.
I think you're 100% onto something there. I think that maybe when I mentioned the word Zen garden, I've been thinking a lot about like, well, I should really put together a meditation corner for myself lately. So maybe I'm just trying to brainstorm ideas for what that would look like. I don't think I can devote a whole room to various rocks realistically.
City living.
And also just pour a bunch of sand in that room just here in this apartment.
Yeah. On the upper floors.
Just kick out my roommate.
Yeah. Sorry, sand rents the room now.
Yeah, sand lives here. Yeah, this is where the sand lives. Yeah, but, you know, I just want to think about, like, okay, what do I want that? And so now I'm like, oh, do I have to buy a geode now for this meditation corner?
Well, yeah, the crystals will, you know, put good ions in the air.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, that's what they tell you.
But so I want to interrogate this here in the closing minutes of the show as we consider our new adult rock collection and our previous childhood rock collections.
Yeah.
Because I do not feel like I was collecting rocks as a child in order to do something with it. It was the having that really mattered, you know, and the collecting also. And the collection, and if we're honest, it was only the collection because I forgot the rocks or, you know, left them somewhere all the time.
Yeah.
And so I think there is an interesting dichotomy there in that, like, as adults, we have, you know, we have moved to a place where we're like, well, how will it actually work? What will I do with it? Can I teach people about it? Can I do whatever? Whereas we talked earlier about the childhood thing being like, what will this mean to me? You know, I don't know if that's a, like, we were more inwardly focused as children or, you know, I don't know. Do you think there's anything there?
I do think that there is something there. I think it's play, right? They're you were mentioning the research about play and it being a part of like learning how to be in life. And I'm not going to claim that I have completed learning how to be in life, but I will say I like there's a real chance that like that was a stage of development in which children need to learn a certain skill about how to do something. I don't know.
Make piles.
Make piles. It's a really essential skill. To gather, to evaluate, to judge things, to like have an opinion about something, make decisions. Maybe it's sort of playing at making decisions.
I could see that. I will say, the other thing that I was thinking is there's also like an exploratory point of view. Because yeah, it's practicing it, making decisions, organizing, having, I guess, you know, like, this is, you know, it's kind of like playing house. You're like, oh, what would it be like to own things? Which I guess when you're five, it's like, yeah, it's kind of foreign.
So foreign.
But, one of the USGS's tips and tricks, I think may also, inform this. There's a couple here. It says, let's see, join a mineral club or subscribe to a mineral magazine. They occasionally discuss rocks. And that can be, that process there is more of an adult thing.
What do they discuss when they're not discussing rocks?
I don't know, glass? I don't know if glass is technically a rock. I think it is a mineral. Crystals,
sand.
I suppose. Yeah, sand is not a rock.
Okay. Asked and answered.
The socialization aspect feels appealing there.
Oh, yeah, that was a big part of a rock collection of being like, look at this rock I found.
Yeah, telling your mom about it. That's great. Do I have to carry that? Yeah, you carry it.
The trick is to not ask the question. Just be like, what? No, my hands don't make cups. Sorry.
Your mom's been cursed by a witch. I have paddle hands now.
paddle.
Well, and I also want to suggest that the USGS suggests you look in cemeteries or large buildings because...
Yeah, for ghosts.
Yeah, exactly. Because it makes sense. Because like a cemetery, those headstones are coming from far away. There are, you know, those stones are not native to the area. So you can probably find interesting rocks and possibly a few bones. Oh, sure. I don't know.
Love bones.
Yeah. So
with David Boreanaz.
I think that exploration is also something that I think we were doing as kids and could be something we do as adults, but like, you know, or not, because I don't know, I just want a Zen garden or something.
It's evolved. Yeah.
I just don't want
to... I mean, the Zen garden is provided for you as a kid.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you don't even think about, like, oh, I will need a place to feel Zen, or I would benefit from a place to feel Zen, because, like, all of your spaces are provided for you.
Yeah. I have one in front of the television.
Yeah.
All right. So what? We got a Zen garden rock thing. It looks cool. There's some shiny ones.
Mm-hmm. And RFID chips.
Oh yeah, RFID chips. Now that we've done that, you want to go watch TV?
Oh yeah, let's never come in here again.
Ooh, just close this door, forget about it, keep paying rent on it forever.
Slam.
Well, that's exciting. I don't know. Yeah, I think maybe I am past rocks, but I respect others who, you know, are finding something more in there.
Yeah, it seems really important. I'm sorry that I slammed material scientists earlier because they do very important stuff that just doesn't sound fun to me.
That's fair. And I'm sorry for slamming twins. Until next week, that's Catherine Cogart over there.
And Catherine Cogart's twin also over here. But also Tim Dobbs.
Hey.
Bye!
Bye!